Welcome to Outdoor Explorer on Alaska Public Media. I'm your host, Paul Torta. Anchorage trails have connected the Chugach Mountains and Cook Inlet for decades, with a few gaps. Just recently, however, newly created trails make it possible to bike, hike, run, or ski from Glen Alps to Kinnick Arm of Cook Inlet with a few, if any, roads to cross. Called Mountains to Sea Trails by the Anchorage Park Foundation, the route starts at Glen Alps and ends at the Anchorage Small Boat Launch. To help explain the route and its history, I'm joined by Anchorage Park Foundation's Diana Rhodes, cyclist Christina Grande, and filmmaker William Melton. Stay tuned for Outdoor Explorer. Welcome back to Outdoor Explorer on Alaska Public Media. I'm your host, Paul Torta. Today's topic is a bike and ski route in Anchorage called the Mountains to the Sea Trail. With me in the studio and on Zoom are Diana Rhodes, Christina Grande, and William Melton. Welcome to the show, everyone.
Hello.
Thanks, Paul. Glad to be here.
Let's start with William. Let's go ahead and introduce ourselves. William, tell us about yourself.
Hey, I'm William Melton. I'm a local filmmaker, and I got involved with this project because I was working with the Anchorage Park Foundation to create a short documentary about the Mountains to Sea Trail and how to ride it. And so happy to be talking about that today.
Yeah, we'll talk about the process of making that documentary later in the show. Christina?
I am Christina Grande. I live in Anchorage. I ride my bike here a lot, so I guess I'm a trail user. But I have also been sitting on the board for Single Track Advocates. I own a mountain bike company here in town called Alaska Bike Adventures, and I've done some work with the Anchorage Park Foundation, and Diana asked about, just how to connect all these trails and on this Mountains to Sea route.
Yeah, and I think ridden it a bunch.
Yeah. In various different ways. There's a lot of options out there. So
we'll look forward to hearing about that. And Diana.
Hey, I'm Diana Rhodes. I'm the program director for the Anchorage Park Foundation. And we're always working to get people outside and have new, exciting opportunities. This, the Mountains to Sea Trail, is a curated experience of a lot of different trails linked together.
Yeah, Diane, tell us a bit about the trail. Describe it to us. What is the route?
So the route starts at the top at Chugach State Park. It's the Hemlock Burn Trail. And as we were putting this all together with a lot of partners, it's something that people have been doing for years. But nobody really knew the route. You know, people who are hardcore in Anchorage, Alaska, they're doing amazing things all the time. And I heard about it and I tried it with some friends and said, we got to get out the word about this amazing experience. So you start at the Hemlock Burn Trail at Chugach State Park at the Glen Alps Trailhead. That takes you to Prospect Heights. And from Prospect Heights, there was a new trail that was created. A lot of cool people working on that. Single Track Advocates is the builder of this particular trail in partnership with Chugach State Park. And then from Prospect Heights, there's a new little trail called Sea to Summit that takes you over to the Single Track Trails, where you can pick which one you want to take, depending on your skill level, to get down to Service High School, or down to Hilltop ski area, and then over to Service High School, where you access the Tour of Anchorage Trail, which takes you to the Campbell Creek Trail. You know, so that's where you're picking up on the Moose Loop connected trail system or curated experience. And then that takes you to the Chester Creek Trail. And from the Chester Creek Trail, you go to the Tony Knowles Coastal Trail, and then you wind down to the Ship Creek Trail, where Parks and Recreation and the State Department of Transportation are building a new 1 mile piece of this trail. You can do it without this new piece, but there's going to be a new connector trail that takes you all the way out to the small boat launch right near, you know, well, it's the sea, the small boat launch at the sea.
Yeah. Excellent. That sounds really cool. How far is it?
What is it? It's about 22 miles. Will, Christina, how far is it?
I think so. I think it might be 26 if you take the route that we described, when we put the project together, but there are different options. So I think somewhere between 22 and 30 miles. And I think the best part about it is that it's all downhill, and I don't think you have to stop once to cross a street on the whole route.
No. Yeah. It's pretty continuous. It's pretty cool to be able to go from the mountains all the way to the west side of Anchorage without hitting a stop sign, you know?
Right. Yeah, that's amazing. Why don't one of you talk about sort of the history and the concept of this trail? Like, why did it come about? How did it come about? Does anybody want to take that? Diana?
Okay. Yeah. Well, again, when we start at Anchorage Park Foundation, when we started the Moose Loop and branded our existing multi-use trail system as the Moose Loop, and that connects all of our paved multi-use trails. It's basically the Tony Knowles Coastal Trail. Let's say you start at Westchester Lagoon, and then you get on the Tony Knowles Coastal Trail, and it takes you to the Ship Creek Trail, which takes you to some city streets and connects you up with the Campbell Creek Trail, and then over to some city streets through Kincaid and back on the Tony Knowles Trail, the Moose Loop. We wanted to call it something so that we can help fix the gaps, you know, make improvements to all the gaps in the trail system. For the longest time, we were talking about our trail, you know, the multi-use trail system as amazing, and how can we get these things fixed, and how can we improve this section? And we kept talking about a map of gaps, but that wasn't working. And so we thought, well, let's talk about it as it currently exists. And when you looked at it on a map, it looked like a moose. It looked like a moose head. So a lot of people still don't know it. We know all this, but a lot of people still don't know it. So it's worth every time you're talking to somebody to just say, we have a trail system in Anchorage that looks like a moose, and there's a million moose on it. So not a million. So as we were talking about that trail, talking to a lot of different people, Christina among them, single track advocates, lots of friends, they're like, wait, you can go from the mountains to the sea and connect up with portions of it. And there's a section of it that, you know what, it would be better if we could make it easier for beginners. So I thought, okay, well, let's talk about it, get people out there using it. You know, Anchorage Park Foundation is always trying to get people outside. So get people outside and use it, and then let us know, you know, where do you see the any problems? If you're a beginner and using it, what would you like to see to improve it? So the kind of history of it is, let's give it a name, Mountains to the Sea, and then talk to people about it and see how we can improve it. And the number one thing for improving it would be wayfinding. Yeah. And we have a process that we're going through with Anchorage Parks and Recreation and the traffic department, and we're going to get our first major wayfinding signs on the Moose Loop Trail system this summer. So we're excited about that. There's about 140 signs in that will help direct users and to do the Moose Loop plus any of these other trails. And hopefully then we can get the Mountains to the Sea, at least where you can find the other trail systems if you're out there. So again, this is about the history of it, is trying to help improve the experience for users by giving it a name.
Yeah. And it's, you mentioned beginners. So I guess how, maybe Christina, you can talk about this. How difficult is it? Like, what kind of experience do people need to have to be able to do it?
Yeah, so like William said earlier, it is kind of trending downhill. I was just trying to think, like, how a beginner would do this. It is kind of a long way yep. down, even for a beginner. You know, just being able to ride downhill in controlled speed is a skill. And, you know, like William mentioned earlier, there's so many different ways you can go down, especially the hillside STA trails. There's a little bit easier trail to descend on rather than like maybe a Jeff's Whoop Whoop or Dig Deep, you know. So I think that's a skill. And I think going with people who have done it before and then going with a group of friends so you don't feel like pressured to have to like feel like you have to send it, you know, like it's okay to take your time, you know, and take a break, and you can always stop. And I think that's the cool thing about this like route is like there's always good places to just kind of stop, regroup, you know. And then so I think for the endurance part of it, that could be, you know, a little bit challenging at first. I think it's something that I think could be like, maybe you could break it down into two segments, you know, for yeah. someone who's never done it before. Maybe they just want to start from the top and then just maybe end down in Midtown area or maybe Service High School. And then they'll attack the second half like another time. Because I actually have been on the Moose Loop route with some beginners, and that's like a big ride, you know. Yeah. And for them, that's like a really big accomplishment. So everyone has their own experience, their own skill ability. The thing with this is like, it's such a cool accomplishment to, you know, start from way up high and then somehow end up in like Ship Creek area. So I think for beginners, I would just recommend just taking your time, bring a lot of snacks, bring a lot of water, I think depending on which way you go down the hillside STA trails, that could be like a really good place to sort of regroup and try to pick a best route down.
So for a beginner, what is a good route through those trails? So you come down Hemlet Burn and then mm-hmm. come and you end up at Prospect Heights, mm-hmm. correct?
Yeah.
And that's a pretty easy, I mean, that's mm-hmm. Hemlet Burn's a fairly beginner trail. Mm-hmm. It's a fun introduction to downhill biking. Mm-hmm. What's the easiest way down to, you know, down the hilltop from there?
The easiest way. So, I don't know. I like Queen Bee. Yeah. I think Queen Bee is a really nice, mellow experience. You know, the newer trails that STA has built, like Jeff's Whoop Whoop, A-Line, Gower Power, those are all one-way specific downhill routes. And so they have like big swoops and berms. For someone who's not really comfortable with that, I guess Queen Bee, Janice's Jive. The thing is, you just have to sort of also pay attention to riders climbing up those trails because those trails are multi-directional. So uphill riders always have the right of way. So, you know, if you're going to go down, just, you know, kind of be aware of your speed, you know, stop when you see an uphill climber. So, but I feel like those trails are kind of a fun option going down. Otherwise, there's like the Hive, you know, but they kind of do like sort of a loop. So Queen Bee, I feel like, is kind of a direct way down, you know.
And, you know, I like in the summer, mm-hmm. Snow freezes in just the ski trails. I mean, that's a...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We all get focused mm-hmm. on the sail trap, but for a beginner, really, the Nordic trails up there, the Spencer Loop coming down mm-hmm. those, you have a lot of... line of sight, and it's a really a fairly easy way down if that's an option.
That's a great point. Yeah, the ski trails in the summertime are like a great option for people who, you know, then you could ride kind of like side by side to your friend and, you know, just sort of like, oh my God, that was amazing, you know, and then get back into it. And then I do want to mention the Service single track trails that STA are building right now. Those are new. They're going to finish this summer. And that could also be a connectivity to the Tour of Anchorage. So when we did this film, we didn't have those trails, but now those trails exist. And they're sort of similar to the bowling alley style. So it's not like so much elevation down. It's more of cross country style.
Yeah, rolling flow mm-hmm. type trails. And bowling alley, for those people who don't know, is out at Kincaid and was one of the original single tracks in Anchorage. And I also like your point of breaking it up for beginners and intermediates. So, mm-hmm. And I was thinking, well, what about not, you don't have to start up at Glen Alps. You can mm-hmm. start at Service and like to break it that way. If you're more of a beginner, you know, even start right? If it started down lower.
Absolutely, yeah.
What would you recommend? If you were to recommend to a beginner friend and that thinking about that, what would you recommend they start at?
Yeah, well, the Hemlock Burn Trail, I feel like, is still really exciting because it's so new and it is beginner friendly. But one thing that both state parks and Anchorage Park Foundation really wanted to stress is that there was what we're talking about. There's a bunch of ways to get on the trail. So you can get on at Upper Huffman if you're going to start closer to the top to Chugach State Park, Prospect Heights. There's one other trailhead too that accesses that. You can start at Hilltop Bike and Ski Area, or use that as a great place to take a break because they've changed up what they're doing. And there's, you know, food and stuff available there.
Drinks and stuff, yeah.
Yep. Or you could start at the top and you could end, in the UMed area. And that would be another way of doing half of it, doing the kind of the more mountainy side of the trail.
Yeah.
So you have a ton of options, yeah.
That's fantastic. So you are listening to the Outdoor Explorer on Alaska Public Media. I'm your host, Paul Tordat. We're talking about a relatively new route, concept, called Mountains to Sea Trail in Anchorage. Dana, let's come back to you. I'm sort of interested in this connectivity part and how important that was in this idea of this trail.
Yes, connectivity for all of our trails, connecting them up, are really important. And I mean, we have to do that through either grant programs or through, you know, voter approved bonds. So just highlighting the needs of what we need for the connectivity is the first phase. And on this one, I mean, this one, it exists. It definitely does exist. But so the connectivity piece of it is just helping people discover other, you know, other places to go. But the biggest part about this one is how we got it, I think, is just the grant programs that people have applied for. So Alaska State Parks uses every year a grant program called the Recreational Trails Program to pay for pieces like this. And the Hemlock Burn Trail was one that Single Track Advocates had worked very hard on. And it's the newest trail built in Chugach State Park. I think that's still true. At the time when it was being built, Chugach State Park went through a huge process. And I want to just do a shout out for Chugach State Park and Ben Cormwin, who's there at the superintendent. And it's amazing what they're doing right now. They're just asking the public what they want to see and working with the public to help make projects like this happen.
And it was not without some controversy. Christina wants to talk about that a little bit, which seems to have been forgotten about, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, building this trail, the Hemlock Burn Trail on State Park, was the first, I think it's, first of its kind for mountain bikes, you know, in mind. And so it intersects existing hiking trails that have been so popular in our community. And people go back there for many reasons. I mean, it's their escape, you know. They've been hiking and walking there for many, many years, skiing there for many years. A lot of the bikers have also been walking and skiing there. When you start to build something new in places where it didn't exist, it's hard to welcome that, I feel like, sometimes with development. You know, I mean, we were talking about it earlier in the show, but there's a few hiccups or, you know, people just not really pumped about it. But I think, we have worked closely with other groups like NSAA. SDA has to work closely with a lot of organizations, whether that's like environmental impact, studies before building trails. We We learned a lot. I think we had a lot of support still for mountain biking. And I feel like that trail has become, you know, welcomed and received now. You know, I mean, I have personally skied on it. I have biked on it. I have walked on it. I think it's a really cool trail. And I think, like, you know, once that first year goes around, you know, people are like, okay, what were we talking about? You know, it's always like that, that moment where you're like, okay, what was the issue? But I think as long as people are nice to each other on trails, you know, like polite, there is some trail etiquette, but sometimes people don't know that, you know, especially during COVID times, you had a lot of people out on trails for the first time. And I feel like you always have to give them a little bit of grace. You know, I was a trail user for my first time in Anchorage. I grew up in San Francisco, so I didn't grow up on trails. Like, I didn't know about one-way rules or, you know, just, you know, on your left or, you know, just being aware. I think that comes with time and it comes with experience. And a lot of people here grew up in the woods, you know, like they know how to like use trails. And I think we should just kind of like, you know, share what we know with people who are just starting. And I think that's going to be a thing in Anchorage. I mean, we are in a big city with a lot of trails around us, and we have this unique like landscape. And I think that's what makes our city really cool, is having all these urban trails around. And, you know, just we all live here, so we should all experience it. But yeah, it's a little bit like, oh no, you know, you don't want to hurt anyone's feelings or, you know, take away their experiences out in the woods. But yeah. Hopefully people like the Hemlock Burn Trail.
Well said. Yeah, no, I think that trail, Hemlock Burn, caused a lot of angst, mm-hmm. but it ended up being a great example of a trail well-built mm-hmm. and well-designed, and a lot of fears, including my fears of what was going to do to habitat, have not come to fruition. And mm-hmm. it's also been a great, and I think trails in general are a great community builder. And like we said, in Alaska, I think we are a little less aggro about sharing things. And we're a little better at it for some reason. let's talk about a little more about logistics doing this trail. You obviously have to have a shuttle of some sort. How do you go about doing this? William, or who wants to talk about that? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if you're going to start at the top, you do need to get up there somehow, either by getting dropped off or by staging a car at the top and the bottom. You know, we talk about in the video, we all know how busy the Glen Alps Trailhead gets in the summers. So you can check the webcam and kind of see what's going on there and figure that out. But that's exactly what Christina and I did when we rode it at the start of this project, is I got dropped off by my family and we rode down. And then Christina, you just rode back up to the top.
Yeah, I don't know why, but you know, there again, there's so many Alaskans here that just kind of do crazy stuff, and
you're one of them.
And yeah, it just becomes normalized, you know. But I mean, you could do a loop, you know. South Fork Rim Trail is a great now like up track, you know. Yeah, I feel like, and so. You can go up that way, go down the Hemlock Burn Trail if you like to climb. You know, some people like to climb, you know. Yeah. They just love getting in that easy gear and spinning away. So, or you can get a lift, you know. Use your energy wisely is what I think.
It'd be fantastic to figure out a way to do it non-motorized. We need bus service to Glen Alps. I mean, there are shuttles up there, right? There are mm-hmm. commercial shuttles up there, and there's Ubers, and mm-hmm. you can probably figure out how to do this without a lot of extra carbon being burned.
Yeah.
So besides doing a round trip like you did.
Right, right. Yeah.
With as long as the trail is, I do feel like, I agree with you, Paul, it'd be great to have a shuttle service or a bus.
Yeah.
But if you make that whole route with it being between 20 and 30 miles, well worth it. You know, I think it's a really good route. Good way to get that exercise, and staging a car or getting dropped off is a small price to pay, but maybe in the future, helicopter rides up to the top, you know.
That's a lot of carbon there. What about the highlights on it? Anybody want to talk about highlights what were your highlights when you did it? Anybody?
Diana, do you want to talk like maybe the portions that you wrote? Because I always like to hear other people's highlights on these trails for some reason.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the whole thing is just so much fun, and it's an adventure. It's a half day adventure. But I have to say, I mean, being able to stop at Hilltop and get a beer or get a soda or whatever you want, get a hamburger, I mean, that is amazing. And then continuing on and getting down to the sea. I have to say that that is such a beautiful place that a lot of people in Anchorage have not been to. And it's also a place you could start. Let's say you were a climber, like Christina talks about, you could be downtown and you rent the bike downtown and you just do this in reverse because you want to get a major workout. But if you get your bike downtown, like let's say you're visiting from someplace else in Alaska or anywhere, and you get your bike downtown, don't miss going down to the small boat launch, which is, you know, Small Boat Launch Road is right off of C Street downtown. If you're at the Ship Creek Trail and C Street, you head west to the sea, and you can also see the beluga whales out there. But there's also an indigenous sculpture that is so beautiful. It's a beautiful sculpture by Joel Isaac was the artist. It pays tribute to Dena'ina traditions and culture. It's a bronze representation of a Dena'ina matriarch. It's a traditional fish camp for the Dena'ina. And people, I mean, still go there and people fish there, and there's a small boat launch and you go across. And so there's still fishing, a lot of fishing happening. So that is a highlight. I mean, totally, to go see the people fishing for salmon every summer.
And that's so important to recognize that we are on Dena'ina lands, and that there's this stories everywhere we go that go back thousands and thousands of years. And it's always so thanks for pointing that out, Diana. And it, how about hazard? Well, yeah, how about hazards real quick? We talked about moose. So if I run into a moose, what do I do?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's going to be wildlife out there, moose, you know, bears, and you know, just being able to take care of yourself, being aware of your own body, you know, and so for, you know, riding with bear spray is probably a good idea, bear bells or.
Yep.
You know, don't get too close to the animals. You know, people love to take photos of them, but giving them space, this is their home, you know, so this is their habitat. And you know, just being mindful of wildlife, you know, and also staying on the trail.
Yeah. And I like the idea of taking care of yourself and staying hydrated and staying warm. Any other suggestions on that, William?
You know, for as long as a ride as it is, if you're planning to do it, not a major hazard, but you can get lost or you can pick the wrong route, which is really no big deal because you can always find your way along the trails. But if you bring along a charged up cell phone, several different people recommended Trail Forks. It's a really good navigation app, and at some of these places along the trail, you don't always have cell service, so Trail Forks lets you download those maps, which is really handy. Beyond that, the animals, bring snacks and sunblock and a bike helmet, or, you know, if you're
Normal
biking.
bike and safety. All right, thanks. This is Outdoor Explorer on Alaska Public Media. We'll take a short break and be right back with more about the new, relatively new route, Mountains to Sea.
You're listening to Outdoor Explorer on Alaska Public Media. Find the show anytime as a free podcast in the iTunes Store or connect with us online at alaskapublic.org.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's gonna be the feel everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th.
Welcome back to Outdoor Explorer. I'm your host, Paul Toilette. We're talking about Mountains to City Trail. Let's talk about finding our way through the city, because it has its challenges, and wayfinding, route finding. Diana, you mentioned at the break that there's some going to be some improvements in signage. Is that correct?
Yes. Anchorage Park Foundation got a grant from the Alaska State Legislature to put in wayfinding on the Moose Loop. We worked closely with Anchorage Parks and Recreation, the Anchorage Traffic Department, to figure out how to direct people from city streets onto the trail system. And then when you're on the trail system, arrows pointing to different sections of to stay on, either whether it's the Moose Loop or directing you off to the trails. I know we're going to have a kiosk right there where the Campbell Creek Trail heads out into the Tour of Anchorage Trails. So we're really hoping that this partnership that we have with Parks and Recreation and the Traffic Department and Single Track Advocates and Alaska State Parks, that we can eventually get some signage through Far North Bicentennial Park to be able to better navigate through that system. I mean, Single Track Advocates has done a great job on all their trails, but kind of connecting up the trails, you know, Nordic Skiing Association, all the different groups that are working in this space, we just need to connect them all together with a few little, we call them breadcrumbs, to let you know that you're on the right path.
Good. And on the Moose Loop too, right? Because I've always sort of gotten a little turned around when I try it, getting through like Mountain View and that zone, right? You're going to have some new signs to help us do that?
Yeah. Right. Yes, new signs. And we do always, I think William talked about trail forks, but Strava is another way. And actually on our website, we have the Moose Loop Google map that you can just sort of memorize, actually. I mean, the best way I've found is to just memorize that section through Moose Loop, I mean, through Mountain View, because it's just like a couple of turns that you get turned around on. But there are signs there, and there are more coming.
Good. Good to hear. And sometimes the best way to get to know a city is to get lost, right? If you have the energy and the ability to do that, it's okay to get turned around once in a while and find your way back. Yeah. So along that lines, you have a documentary, William, about this, which I think was really well done. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So talk about that process and how that came about and what the documentaries, what's it look like? Yeah.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Yeah. In the spring of 2022, Diana Rhodes with the Anchorage Park Foundation reached out about this idea about letting people know about the opportunity of this curated trail experience. And I think the reason that came about at the time was Hemlock Burn had just opened up. It was a brand new trail. We also had the recent addition of the short trail Sea to Summit, which connects Prospect Heights to the Far North Bicentennial single track system there. So with those two trails, it meant you could do this route that we've been talking about today from the mountains to the sea. So we sat down and we came up with a plan for kind of creating a short documentary that would appear as if you were just on a ride with me for the day. I was kind of the host, and we were going to meet different people along the way who had valuable insights about the trail and share a lot of different perspectives on it. And so that's what we did. And so if you haven't seen it, I'd highly recommend checking it out. If you're interested, you can view it on YouTube through the Anchorage Park Foundation. It's called the Mountains to See, a Video Trail Guide. And then Chugach State Park also hosted on their YouTube. And you can also get to it from the Anchorage Park Foundation website. But it was... it really covers everything. You start with me at Little O'Malley Peak, and we make our way down into Flat Top Trailhead, where we meet with Aaron Leggett, who was the president of the Native Village of Aklutna. And he gave a really great perspective on the traditional use of the area, and that it's been a... the Dena'ina people have been traveling there for thousands of years and been the caretakers of that area. And so he had a lot of great information. He was involved in the interpretive signage that went into the park around the Flat Top Trailhead too. So he was a real pleasure to talk to. And then Christina Grande, who's in the studio with us today, met up with me, and she gave her perspective on being a mountain bike guide and just her overall view of trail etiquette. She did a really great job, and there's a ton of good tips on just what you can do if you're biking, to be courteous to others, to be safe, as well as her perspective on the cool trails we have in the area.
Yeah. Just fun.
Yeah.
Fun to ride.
Yeah. From there, we met up with Ben Corwin at the Prospect Heights Trailhead, and he's the superintendent of Chugach State Park. I should mention, these were everyone's titles when we made the program, so people might have changed up since then, but Ben was great. He wanted to emphasize that there were multiple spots you could join this trail to alleviate the congestion that kind of forms at Glen Alps in the summer, and just that these are year-round trails, which I know, Paul, being a big skier, is important to you too, just how much action Chugach State Park trails see year-round. So after Ben, we made our way down to the hillside ski and bike area and met with Trevor Bird, and they had just opened their bike park. So if you're not familiar, they're a ski area, but in the summer now they've got bikes to rent, and that's really become a cool spot in Anchorage. I think we call it a hidden gem in the movie.
And that's Hilltop Ski Area.
Hilltop,
Trevor's the executive director there. Yeah.
Yep. And so then we go through that connection of from the bike and ski area down through the Service High area, and I think that is one of the more confusing areas of the trail navigation wise, and that's where those either outer spatial or trail forks really come in handy. You're on a bunch of those gravel paths that some of them are the Tour of Anchorage Trail, some of them are other trails, multi-use trails. So there's a correct route, but if you just kind of keep running downhill, if you just keep making your way towards the center of town, you'll get there eventually. But that was a huge eye-opener for me because I ride the trails, the Chester Creek and the Campbell Creek trails. They're over by my house. And when I realized that these trails connected up out of Chugach State Park, it opened a whole kind of new bike riding world for me. So that was very cool to realize. And then from there is my favorite section of the trail, I think it's the best urban riding you can do, maybe period, but certainly in Alaska. The Chester Creek and the Campbell Creek connection that eventually take you down to the Tony Knowles Coastal Trail. It's just flat. If you get out on a nice day, there's so many people out riding. It's such a pleasure to see. You pass through, different ponds and lakes, and you see families out. It's just a really awesome experience, and you never have to stop, which, not having grown up here, was a real just a pleasure.
Yeah, no roads to cross. They're just stoplights, anything like that, right? Yeah.
Yep. Like Denver was one of the only other cities I've been in that has a trail system that is that well thought out and that convenient. We spent some time with Kevin Jackson, who's with the Department of Transportation. He gave really good insight on just the work it took to make that trail system happen. And to think through problems that had come up or places where the trail didn't connect, but now it does. So he had great information there. And let's see, I think our last interview subject, other than Diana Rhodes with Anchorage Park Foundation, who's also with us today, was Steve Rafuse. And he was the superintendent He's with the municipality of Anchorage, and he manages the parks and trails.
Yeah.
And he talked about what we were talking about earlier, what you, I believe, were talking about last week, the economic draw of a good trail system and a good park system. It's attractive to people. It makes them want to belong to a community, and there's just advantages, in having that available.
Yeah.
The film covers all of that. It's only 10 minutes long. It's a lot of information, but we tried to make it really watchable. And if you're newer to Anchorage, or if you ride the trail system, but you're not aware of all that's out there, it's a great watch, I think. And there's a lot of maps and animated maps. So you can get in there, you could screenshot any of those if you were curious about specific connections or intersections, and then you'd be all set to ride that for the day.
So the documentary gave a viewer a pretty good idea of what they're getting into. Like, if I thought, I don't know if I want to do this, by watching this, would it help me inform my decision?
I think so. We, between the maps, and you actually get to come along with us for the ride. So there's lots of footage of all of these people I talked about, either riding or they're actually along the trails. We've got some drone footage, so you can get a good idea of the perspective of everything. And the beginning of the video is an overview of kind of how to get started, how to dress, what to bring, where to park. So absolutely, I think it's a great thing to check out, and it gives you a great idea of what you're getting into for the day.
All in 10 minutes.
All in 10 minutes, maybe 11.
That's how fast you're going to go through this whole trail system in just 10 minutes.
Well, that's a really good, it's a great idea to have. Any thoughts from Diana or Christina about the video or the movie? I guess, what were your favorite parts of that process?
I really enjoyed watching it. I think you did a really great job capturing everything, and I feel like it's always really cool when you could actually see a video about something. I mean, that's how we live our lives. We're on our phones all the time, on Instagram and Twitter. And what's the other one that people use?
Instagram.
Oh, TikTok.
TikTok. See, that's how old. Okay, people now know how old I am. but basically, we're all inspired by video and by stuff that we see on media sometimes. And I feel like sometimes having that extra push, or, showcasing something to someone who may not be aware of how all this connection happens, I think it's a really good effort, I mean, we do the best we can to try to create awareness about trails, especially being a part of a trail group with just emails and our members, but there's still such a really big empty void of, especially with people who live in Anchorage that are unaware about our trail system. And, I actually work at the airport, and I interact with my coworkers, and some use the trails, and sometimes it's their first time hearing a trail, that they live in. And I'm like, what? How do you not know the Chester Creek Trail, or something like that? So there's always room for, sharing our knowledge, our experience. And there's always someone out there is going to see this for the first time and be inspired, I feel like. So I think it's a really great film, and you did a great job, and the maps are really cool.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And I like the drone footage. I mean, the drone stuff is always fun.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Diana?
Yeah, I agree too. I wanted to just shout out to Alaska State Parks that they have used this opportunity to do quite a few video trail guides, and they fund them through their recreational trails program. And they have themselves taken advantage of that opportunity to create them using these land and water conservation funds. It's a federal program, Land and Water Conservation Fund, to educate the public on how to navigate all of the beautiful places in Chugach State Park. So check out their YouTube page, their website at Alaska State Parks, to find even more adventures of places that you want to go, and just make your list to do these these amazing curated experiences.
And we'll have those links on the Outdoor Explorer website. You are listening to Outdoor Explorer on Alaska Public Media. I'm your host, Paul Twardock, and we're talking about the Mountains to Sea Trail, among other trails in Alaska. Diana, let's talk a bit about benefits of trails and why they're important, and also some of the partnerships that have that made that happen.
Well, there's so many partnerships to make any trail system happen, but I mean, voters approve funds every year. So thank you, voters, for approving park bonds that enable projects like this to happen. The Tony Knowles Coastal Trail, the Chester Creek Trail, all these trails over the years were built using a match of state, local, and federal funds to build them. I mean, we do advocacy. All the nonprofits in Anchorage do so much work to apply for grants to help maintain. I mean, Nordic Skiing Association maintains a lot of all the trails out at Kincaid Park and maintains and grooms the trails across the city. Alaska State Parks. One of the things, I mean, Anchorage Parks and Recreation, I mean, we work closely with them because we mostly work on municipal parks. I mean, all on municipal parks, the Anchorage Park Foundation. But these other groups work closely with Alaska State Parks. And this whole process of the Hemlock Burn Trail and the statewide comprehensive outdoor recreation plan that was headed up by State Parks and Alaska Trails, they worked together to bring all these partners together to talk about what we want to see in the future. And I think you had Chris Beck on your show a couple of weeks ago, but talking about that statewide comprehensive outdoor recreation plan, you can look it up online, but it brings all the partners together that helps us get the funding in place to do these connections for the next section, whatever we want to do next. You got to have the partnerships. And one of the ones that's really important was the Hemlock Burn Trail that helped bring the state and state parks with Municipality of Anchorage, and it helped push through this idea of the Chugach Access Service Area, similar to how our park bonds work that voters have supported for the past 12 years, the Chugach Access Service Area. We'll see what happens. We don't know yet, but it's on the ballot. We'll find out this summer whether that project to improve the Canyon Road and get into the backside at Flat Top and improve Rabbit Lakes Trail and that whole section. That partnership, when we're talking with all these different groups together, we say, oh, okay, what do you need? What do you need? And then things happen. And it's exciting. I just think it's so
And
exciting that people are talking to one another and sharing this dream of connectivity and building our trails together, which leads me to just saying a shout out for Alaska Trails and the Alaska Long Trail, because everybody wants to be a part of an Alaska Long Trail, where in Anchorage, the sections, we're determining this summer through a process that Alaska Trails worked on, what is going to, is it feasible? Is this route feasible? The BLM is doing a process, a public hearing to determine the route, which is super exciting. But no matter what happens, Anchorage wants to be, we're calling it a, what do we call it? It's just a connection. It's a 500-mile trail from Seward to Fairbanks, but Anchorage wants to be one of the sections that comes off of it. So you got to get to Anchorage, and the Moose Loop is part of the Alaska Long Trail. So part of this idea of the signage, I'm getting back to the signage, is then you'll know, wait, I'm on the Alaska Long Trail when you're on portions of the Moose Loop, so that then you're like, okay, I did a part of it. Now I want to come back and do this other part of the Alaska Long
You're gonna
Trail.
have to have big signs because there'll be the Long Trail, the Moose Loop, the Mount
Yeah.
Sissi, the Tour of Anchorage Trail. There's a lot of stuff going on
There's a
there.
lot. And the historic Iditarod Trail.
It's just the original one sort of and indigenous routes also. So that's they'll talk about that connectivity and the sort of the attention about the Long Trail. We did have had some shows on that. We just had one this last month on the Long Trail. I think it's the Alaska Traverse, maybe is what they're calling it now.
It's back to the Alaska
Long
Trail.
Oh, it is back to Alaska. Okay.
It is.
Okay, thank goodness. So anyways, I think that's a really interesting. And also I want to talk a little bit about the sort of future, like what else is out there. We have this Mountain Sea Trail. Any other ideas of projects coming up? I know, Dinah, you and I have talked about the whole route to the UMed district. What else is out there that might be on the horizon?
Well, just the connectivity for everything, bringing everything together. And you're right, the UMed district is something that people don't realize. You can, let's say you want to just shoot through campus. There was a study done by AMATS on a travel demand study to look at how can we get more people walking or biking through the UMed campus in order to, you know, save on any sort of perceived traffic jam situation going on there. But there is a beautiful way to get through that campus, walking or biking. It is so beautiful. The Goose Lake Trail System, and try to improve the Goose Lake, and thinking about, I'd say that what groups are talking about right now, what I'm excited about, is just how do we get like a real Nordic ski center? I mean, the Nordic Skiing Association, Keegan Randall is leading this charge, but it's exciting. It's really exciting to think about Anchorage as this place that year round, you know, outdoor recreation for all users. That excites me.
Yeah. What about Christina and Wayne, what's on the future in your radar for new trails or trail improvements? We talked about a little bit about Trails Around Service that's coming up. Yep.
Yeah. Well, with Single Track, we're finishing up the Service Single Track network there, and that's really basically for beginner intermediate riders. So we were thinking that would be similar to like a bowling alley style cross country, because of hillside trails, there is elevation. So that's already sort of a little bit of a barrier for, you know, for fitness, especially for mighty bikes, you know, when there's mighty bikes on Tuesday and Thursdays in the summertime, you know, riding uphill with kids could be a little tough. You know, they already have small wheels, their bikes weigh more than them, you know, so it's just like more effort for them. I remember coaching a little kid group in Queanbeyes, you know, we just made it like a third way up, you know, so I think that this would be
it's pretty good.
But this is a good option, I think, for people, especially, you know, on the east side of town, to experience that type of trail riding, you know. And you know, STA, we're always trying to think of more new ways to build more mountain bike trails in town. Mountain biking has grown. I'm pretty partial because I've also worked at bike shops for the past 10 years before working at the airport and having my business. And I personally have seen like the growth of mountain bike sales. Like I remember starting at the bike shop in 2010 and the full suspension bikes were in the back of the shop. No one ever talked about it. Only really high priced dollar customers would come in and buy it. And then now it's like that's the type of bike you sell at bike shops. You know, all the bike shops in town are going to have either gravel bikes or full suspension mountain bikes, you know, like road biking, gravel bikes have kind of replaced that, I felt like, you know. I think it's really exciting that people are always getting into that sport.
And what about e-bikes? Talk about that, but the brake, like, do they have a place? And
yeah, e-bikes have also like gone skyrocketed. You know, I mean, that's I personally have a cargo e-bike and I use it just to go across town, and it's super fun because sometimes I don't want to, like, you know, come to a place like super sweaty and drippy. And so that's really nice as an alternative way of transportation in Anchorage, especially. But yeah, I see more e-bikes on mountain bike trails, on the coastal trail with visitors coming from out of state. You know, personally, I don't have any really issues with e-bikes. Sometimes I feel like, you know, you just have to be aware of trail etiquette, and, you know, still the uphill rider still has a right of way. So, you know, just be aware of that. You know, maybe telling people on your left, you know, especially on the paved trails, because They come up pretty fast. You know, I've also been a walker on the Coastal Trail, and I don't walk it that much. I ride it mostly, but I'm surprised. Like, as a walker, I'm like, whoa, I have to look over my shoulder a ton, you know, because there's a lot of bike riders out there. So just being aware of, like, hey, I don't want to startle you, you know. So I feel like whatever gets people outside, you know, if they have to use an e-bike, then cool. You know, especially for William, he used an e-bike, but he was carrying a ton of gear. It was like utility purpose. And if you only have an hour of your day because you have a family and that's your way to get out, then, you know, I'm all for it.
So you did the mountain to see with an e-bike?
I did, yeah.
And it worked out? The battery lasted? And
It lasted, yeah. It was, so I'm in support of e-bikes. Yeah. I think, you know, with the added power comes some added responsibility, which is what Christina was just talking about. You know, you need to be aware that you're moving faster usually than a regular bike and give people plenty of space and give people plenty of warning. But what using my e-bike gave me the ability to do beyond just carry two cameras and a drone and a two tripods and all that was the second day Christina and I met up to ride the second leg down from Prospect Heights. I rode up there, which meant I didn't have to shuttle a car at all.
Oh, yeah.
And on a regular bike, I don't know that I would have had the energy to have ridden up to Prospect Heights and then gone all the way down and ridden another 15 or 20 miles.
Yeah.
So that's really cool. You know, when you can take a car out of the equation, use some other trails and connect them up and just spend your whole day on the bike. That's where I think those e-bikes really shine, just because then you're just spending more time outside.
Yeah. And it allows a lot of other people to do something they might not otherwise do.
Yep.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I live in Sand Lake, and to get to the east side of town on a regular bike, it's about 45-minute hour bike ride, you know? I mean, that's like a journey. So have an e-bike is nice.
Yeah. Well, we're about done here. I guess we're back to the Mounts to Sea Trail. We're recording this in breakup in end of March. And when do you expect us to be able to do this? When did it start in June? Or like when's it going to be? If you had a crystal ball, when the trail's going to be dry enough and ready to go, what do you think?
Oh, man. I mean, for STA trails, we say June 1st is kind of like our open time. But the Hemlock Burn Trail is unique because it's so far up, you know, up the mountains that usually the snow tends to melt like last, you know. So, you know, June, I guess we monitor it by the end of May, but we try not to ride the trail too early because we don't want to mess it up with ruts. And, you know, sometimes there's like moose tracks on that. And so it's, yeah. And then, you know, we usually have volunteers go out and sort of like help with the tread work of that area. But sometime in June.
Yeah, nice.
It should be good.
This has been Outdoor Explorer. You've been listening on Alaska Public Media. I'm your host, Paul Twardock. We've been talking about the mountains to see. I'd like to thank my guests, William Melton, Christina Grande, and Diana Rhodes. Thanks for joining the show today.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
Finally, thanks to our producer, Airport. I'm your host, Paul Twardock, and from all the hosts at Outdoor Explorer, enjoy the trails, and we'll see you outside.
Outdoor Explorer is a production of KSKA Public Radio in Anchorage, Alaska. Theme music is by Portugal, The Man. Views expressed are those of the participants and do not reflect the station or its underwriters. You can find Outdoor Explorer on Facebook and in your favorite podcast app. To see what's coming up on Outdoor Explorer and add your voice to the conversation, go to our website at alaskapublic.org.
Life informed. This is Alaska Public Media.